Deuteronomy 18, the first third of it is the portions of the Levites. They get one suburb. And then the middle part of 18 is warning against idolatry or being a tree. Well, I'm going to read that because we've had a little view of it here tonight. Verse 9, when thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Can you understand from God's perspective an abomination is anything those nations are doing? Other than abandonment of self? Can you hear that? Or do you think there's some good things those nations are doing? So you think, can we agree that all things that the Gentiles are doing are abominations? Everybody agree to that? None of them have brought anyone any peace or joy or happiness. There's no righteousness in them. They've defined the boundaries about that wide, and then they've been successful in that little arena.
Barely
successful.
Got to narrow it a little.
So they got to narrow it some more.
Yeah. A lot more.
You got it? You got to redefine it. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Anybody remember what passing through the fire means? Learning the practices that failed you.
An incredible disapproval if you don't do it.
And disapproval if you don't do the thing that you were taught to do that you failed at. That didn't bring you any life. That maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer.
Harry knows what that is.
A necromancer is one who has sexual relations with the dead. Now, not only that, a necromancer spiritually is one who has well feelings about their ancestors, who gains identity from their ancestors, from their father or their past. Okay? For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Okay, now, right now, from 18 to the end of the chapter, where we are, verse 15 to the end of the chapter, we are going to see and sense a urgency that was felt by the nation of Israel at the time of Christ because of Daniel 7, which had prophesied that at this time, at the time of Christ, this prophet who is prophesied here would come unto them. Okay?
And this comes now after what we just read because
he can't.
Not doing that leaves a void.
Right.
This is how the void will be filled.
Right. Now, you have to see that when you can let go of all of these practices, all of this idolatry, all of the idol worship, and you could walk humbly before your God, you can empty yourself, that creates, as Harry said, the vacuum in which this prophet then will fill.
And Christ was the one that created that vacuum.
Right, and he creates it in you. You create the vacuum, and then he fills it. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now this is God speaking. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will rise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. All right? So that prophet is one that, are you that prophet, is they kept asking, remember? Okay, now go to Daniel 7.
Back in 16, was talking about this great fire.
Yeah, that was when they got the law on Mount Sinai, and the fire erupted, and the clouds came over, and the thunders and lightnings, and it scared the hell out of all the people.
Where are we going?
Daniel, chapter 9. Verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin... Now, this was written 538 B.C. This was written now 568, 70 years before Christ's ministry began. That's a pretty long time. And while I was speaking and praying and how'd you like to have to confess? To prophesy something tonight that was going to happen 570 years from now. And it was testable.
How was it testable?
We'll see in a minute. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. And what is the supplication? Praying is easy. Praying is duck soup. Lord, I want this. Supplication is putting your head in the mouth of the lion. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, for the sake of the holy mountain, is what he's saying. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. We're going to see in a minute. We got some really hot stuff to read in here. It looks like we're going to have to wait till Thursday night. Because we're going to study Enoch, the writings of Enoch.
Cool.
Really, who are you guys?
Cool. 165 years.
He was taken. Boom.
Gone. Circle of Enoch. Out of there. Book of Enoch.
Book of Enoch.
Cool.
Huh?
Will we have time to like start?
Like, I'll probably read like the first verse or something.
Thank you.
Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touch me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the moment supplication truly happened, the moment he truly said, Father, I am yours without condition. I confess my sin. I see that I am not worthy of anything. That's the beginning of the supplication. Can you hear that? Then he can begin. At the beginning of thy supplication, at the commandment came forth. The commandment to what? To send Gabriel to him. And we're going to find out about Raphael here in a minute, too. Because Enoch talks about all these angels, their archangels, and what their jobs are.
Cool. About that angel.
That's so cool.
Because it talked about Enoch, but it didn't really get into it. So
we're going to get into Enoch. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now listen, to do what? Five things. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision. Six things. And to anoint the Most Holy. To seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Okay, 70 weeks or 70 weeks of years. It's 490 years. Therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, that happened for whatever it is, but it works out. We've got all this done. You can see it. I can give you the little maps and how you do it. To restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. The street shall be built and the wall even in troublous times. Okay? trust me in this one for tonight. If you want me, I'll go through step by step, week by week, of how you came, that the Jews knew that this 70th week was the time of Christ. And that's why so many messiahs came forth. To build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now what it says is, this is kind of wild. After 72 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince. Now, the better translation of that says, does somebody in your Bible, who's got a Bible that has the little translation notes?
I don't bring mine to you.
It says something like this. It says, and they, the Jews, shall be no more his people. But they didn't want to have that in there. After he's cut off, the Jews shall be no more his people. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consumption and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, trust me on this one. In the Jewish mind, that was a particular time in history that was, I'll show you, well, let's go there right now, Matthew 26. No, John.
So, how can they justify the blowing of Christ as the Messiah?
I'll show you.
John.
I don't think it's in John. I said that before. I got to find it. It's the place where Caiaphas said.
Chapter 11, verse 49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being a high priest at the same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not.
And this spake he not of or from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. What he prophesied was is the completion of Daniel 9. Understand? That's just it. They also, when all the people saw when he came in riding on the colt of an ass, that's the prophecy about him in Zechariah. Now, what does Enoch say about all this? In those days, the prayers of the righteous ascended into heaven, and the blood of the righteous from the earth before the Lord of the spirits. There shall be days when all the holy ones who dwell in heavens above shall dwell in unison, and with one voice they shall supplicate and pray, glorifying, praising, and blessing the name of the Lord of the spirits on behalf of the blood of the righteous which had been shed. The prayer shall not stop from exhaustion before the Lord of the spirits, neither will they relax forever until judgment is executed for them. In those days I saw him, the antecedent of time. The one that was before time. In those days I saw him, the antecedent of time, while he was sitting upon the throne of his glory. And the books of the living ones were opened before him, and all his power in heaven above and his escort stood before him. The hearts of the holy ones were filled with joy because the number of the righteous had been offered. The prayers of the righteous ones have been heard. The blood of the righteous one has been admitted before the Lord of the spirits. Now furthermore, in that place I saw the fountain of righteousness, which does not become depleted and is surrounded completely by numerous fountains of wisdom. All the thirsty ones drink of that water and become filled with wisdom. Then after their dwelling places become with the holy. Then their dwelling places become with the holy one, righteous and elect one. At that hour the Son of Man was given a name. In the presence of the Lord of the Spirits, the before time, even before the creation of the sun and the moon, was he given a name. Before the creation of the stars, he was given a name in the presence of the God of the Spirits. He will become a staff for the righteous ones in order that they may lean on him and never fall. He is the light of all the Gentiles, and he will become the hope of those who are sick, all those who are sick in their hearts. All those who dwell upon the earth shall fall and worship before him. They shall glorify, bless, and sing the name of the Lord of the Spirits. For this purpose he became the chosen one. He was concealed in the presence of the Lord of the Spirits prior to the creation of the world and for eternity. And he was revealed, and he has revealed, the wisdom of the Lord of the Spirits to the righteous. For he has preserved the portion of the righteous because they have hated and despised this world of oppression, together with all of its ways of life and all of its habits, in the name of the Lord of the Spirits. Let me read that again. For he has preserved the portion of the righteous because they have hated and despised this world of oppression, together with all its ways of life and all of its habits, in the name of the Lord of the Spirits, and because they will be saved in his name, and it is good pleasure. In his good pleasure they have life. In these days the kings of the earth and the mighty landowners shall be humiliated on account of the deeds of their hands. Therefore, on the day of their misery and weariness, they will not be able to save themselves. I shall also deliver them into the hands of my elect, like grass in the fire and like lead in the water. So they shall burn before the face of the holy ones and sink before their sight, and no place will be found for them. On the day of their weariness, there shall be an obstacle on the earth, and they shall fall on their faces, and they shall not rise up again ever, nor anyone be found anywhere who can take them with his hands and raise them. For they have denied the Lord of the Spirit and his Messiah. Blessed be the name of the Lord of the Spirits. That's enough. Can you believe this stuff? This was written like 60 jillion years ago. But these were the readings that the mystics read on Hanukkah. We're reading this very reading on Hanukkah.
The Enoch.
This
he was
Enoch?
He spanned the flood, is that right?
No. Oh. Enoch was seventh from Adam and Eve. He was the only one. He was taken up, yeah. He and Elijah. He was the one that... I'm going to give you
was Noah a descendant of Enoch?
No, Shem built the pyramid.
Enoch built the Sphinx?
Shem built the Sphinx.
But someplace they put the circle of Enoch.
The circle of Enoch is in the king's circle. Chamber. And the circle of Enoch is the mystical 365. And the,
I just don't remember where Enoch was.
It was in the king's chamber.
No. In one of your time.
And he was seventh from Adam. He found favor in the sight of God, and he was not, for God took him.